Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? All right. We're in week four of our home improvement series. And you ready to have some fun today? Okay. Who wants to start a project? How many of you have ever taken on a major renovation project at your home? Anyone? I can't see. I see a couple hands. Not too many. That you're smart. If you've ever taken on a major project, a renovation project, you know there's two main things. You know, people think, well, it's all about the what we want to have done and what we want it to look like, and yeah, that's important, of course. But it's getting the right person to do the work, and that can be a challenge sometimes. And then it's setting a budget, right? If you've ever done a project and you've never had a budget, you just launched into it, you know that can be pretty crazy. That can end up real bad, and you can end up in a situation where things are half done, right? We learned firsthand. We had a budget when we built our house, but our builder didn't quite understand the budget, apparently. And so we had some real firsthand experience with that situation. And so what happens in the midst of budgeting and building and things get a little twisted, right? Because money can make people go sideways. Have you ever noticed? No, of course not. It can make people go sideways, and it does. And do me a favor this morning. If you got your wallet, grab your wallet, take it out of your pocket. Maybe your purse is there, and ladies, you want to grab your wallet. Open your wallet and listen. Some of you hearing crickets chirping, right? What's it saying to you? Listen real closely. I don't know what your money's saying to you. Well, I think I do. I think I know what your money's saying to you. You know, we're going to talk about that this morning. And the message title, you know, I'm trying to get shows that deal with the things that I want to talk about. But I want to talk about finances because Jesus talked more about money and possessions than he did about heaven. I don't know if you know that, but it's true. More about finances and possessions than he did about heaven. And there's a reason why he did, because money can make us go a little bit sideways, a lot sideways. And see, our money talks to us. It makes promises to us. We don't realize it, but it does. And this is what we need to understand. So this morning, you know, as we've been worshiping the Lord and just saying, God, I want you to open my heart. I want to just be transparent before you. I want to ask you just to allow the Lord to take you a little deeper this morning. Okay, because we're going to talk about some things that are really hard to self-diagnose. It's really hard to really see it in ourselves, but the Lord can help us. See, because our money does make promises to us. It promises happiness. Now, whoever said money does not make you happy must not have had money. You ever been sad when you got money? Anybody? How about the last stimulus check that you got? Did you say, "Daggummit, why did they send that to me? Oh, it's ruined my day." I doubt it. I hear there's another stimulus check coming our way. I'm sure no one's going to be bummed out when that thing comes, you know, knocking on your mailbox or your bank account or wherever. But money promises us happiness. And to be honest, if we can be real, let's drop all the spirituality that we sometimes put on as we come into church. Let's be real with one another this morning. Money can make us happy. It's like, man, did the pastor just say that? It wants to make you happy. Let me say it that way. It promises to you happiness. And the reality is, when we experience money, when we get money, we do feel happy. We don't feel sad. We feel excited, especially if it's unexpected money, right? It's that, you know what, man, I didn't see that one coming. Got a reimbursement. Got, you know, the other day this happened to me. I got $49 in the mail from my insurance company. Like, just because you're a safe driver. I'm like, thank you. Didn't expect that. But we love it when we get this, you know, this money that we didn't expect. And it's trying to make us promises. Our money's trying to promise us happiness. Another thing money promises us is security. Now, can we be real and just be transparent with one another and be honest before the Lord? When you have money in the bank, when you have excess money in the bank, don't you feel a little secure? Don't you? We do. We feel a little secure. We feel, because see, money's is making us promises. Listen, if you have me, you'll feel secure. If you have me, you'll be all right. If you have me, you'll be happy. And this is the promise that it's trying to make. It's talking to us. And the reality is, we do feel happy when we have money. We do feel secure when we have money. And if money brings us security and happiness, it makes sense that it's hard for us to let it go. It makes sense that Jesus spent so much time talking about money and possessions. Now, I know talking about money in the church, people get really nervous. I promise you, I'm not taking an offering at the end of the service, not expecting for you to unload all that money that was talking to you a little while ago. That's not my point. But we get nervous when the church starts talking about money. Listen, we should be talking about money because Jesus talked about money and possessions. Why? Because it's making promises to us. It's making promises that it can't keep. And it's hard for us when we feel that sense of happiness and we feel a sense of security. It's hard for us to let it go. Think about it. Why does money get people so twisted? Is because it provides happiness and security and hope. And if it's providing all those things for us, the last thing we want to do is let it go, right? The last thing we want to do is let it go. No one wants to give up their happiness, their security, their hope. Some of you think, man, I got like a couple bucks in my account. This doesn't really apply to me. Yes, it does. Money makes promises to us. See, God wants us to get some things under control deep, deep inside of our hearts because he wants to entrust things to us. He wants to entrust them to us. I've watched money destroy families. So unfortunate. You know, the older I get, of course, our parents get older. Grandparents pass away, and you get to watch the effect. How many of you have ever seen that? You ever seen your grandparents pass away, and all of a sudden, your uncles and aunts and your parents, and everything goes crazy? Is anyone, you know, yeah, it's unfortunate. It happens more than it doesn't happen. That families get all twisted inside because they're like, I got to get my part. I got to get my piece. I got to get my thing, you know. And it destroys families. It destroys friendships. And the reason we want to talk about it today, the reason it's so important and what Jesus talked about, you know, money and possessions so much is because he understood money makes promises to us. It promises security. It promises happiness. It promises hope. But it can't deliver. It can't deliver. Now, it's obvious that there's always a greater sense of hope when there's a pile of money available, right? Things are more hopeful when you know you can pay the bills, when you know you can do a little extra and you can upgrade whatever you wanted to upgrade. See, hope often accompanies riches. But placing your hope in riches is something different. This is where we're going to get down deep, okay? Because if we're really honest, and I know we say, well, no, money doesn't make you happy, only Jesus does. Yes, that should be the case. But having hope and riches is not wrong. But having your hope in your riches is wrong. Placing your hope in riches is something different than having hope alongside of your riches. See, when riches become the basis of our hope, the source of it, then we're headed down a slippery slope. This is why Jesus talked about it so much. This is why he addressed it so much. And Paul addresses it to Timothy, the young pastor who was assigned to pastor a church in Asia Minor. And he said to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to do this. And Timothy was in a place that was pretty affluent. It was very international in Asia Minor, which is now currently Turkey. And so he said to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Well, some of you feel like, oh man, I'm off the hook then, because I am definitely not rich, right? How many of you think you're rich? There are like no hands raised. All right. So of course you're not rich if you compare yourself with you know, somebody who's higher up the you know, financial ladder than you. But can we look at, like, can we take the whole world into consideration? If we're going to compare, let's look at the whole world. Do you know if you have an income in your home, combined income of $33,000, you're in the top 1% richest people in the world? My guess is most families here today are in the 1%. If you're not one, you're maybe 2%. That's rich. We don't think of ourselves as rich because we tend to compare ourselves with other people, but God has blessed us, right? I mean, he has blessed us. Most of us have at least one car, most two, right? We have so many things we have, and that's not bad. That's not a negative thing to have wealth, to have riches. Where the problem comes is when our riches have us. And so Paul addresses it to the church, to Timothy, this young pastor, and he says to him, Timothy, I want you to instruct those who are rich in this present world. That's us. Go ahead and say it. Say, I'm rich. Come on. That was weak. I'm rich. Come on. I'm rich. All right. There it is. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in riches, or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Here's my bottom line. Here's what I want you to remember. Don't put your hope in riches, but put your hope in him who richly blesses. Don't put your hope in riches, but put your hope in him who richly blesses. See, money and possessions can mess us up if we're not careful. If we don't understand it, if we don't know how to handle it, if we don't know how to manage it well, God has entrusted to us. We really are blessed. We really are rich. And he has blessed us to be a blessing. And so we have to embrace that. We have to understand that. That he's blessed us. And if we're not careful, though, in the midst of that, our hope can easily migrate away from the Lord and into our wealth or our possessions. Which, you know, some of it's, you know, some of our wealth is in our possessions and some of our wealth is in money in the bank. But if we're not careful, though, our hope can easily and subtly, and without us even knowing, It happens. It just migrates away from the Lord and into riches. And the result is inevitable. This is what God's trying to help us with and trying to make sure that we guard our heart against. The result is inevitable. Greed grows inside of our hearts. Greed is so difficult to self-diagnose. Nobody feels greedy, right? Have you ever had a greedy feeling? I've never heard anyone admit I'm greedy, but there's greed that grows in our hearts, and God's saying, listen, I want to search your heart. I want to make sure that your heart is mine and that your hope is in me. See, greed is the assumption that what I have is for my consumption. And Jesus in Luke chapter 12 tells this story. It's really an interesting story, and we're going to go through this story right now. But he's preaching and teaching, and in the midst of teaching and preaching, this argument breaks out around him. We don't know who it was, but somebody speaks up, and in Luke chapter 12, verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Sounds real common, doesn't it? "Tell him to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man," I don't know if he said it like that, "man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he said to all of them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Right? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is tough. This is challenging. This is really getting below the surface in our lives. And so after that, after Jesus says that statement, which is deep, it's great, it's amazing. Wow. You know, it's deep thought. Life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. And watch out, guard your heart against greed. And he wants to take it a step further. And just like in Jesus' style, he launches into a story. This is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard Jesus tell. It's a little disturbing, to be honest with you. Luke 12, 16 through 21. He said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest." Now, this could be any middle-class American. This could be any one of us. Maybe he closed a big deal. Maybe he opened a new store or he received some kind of promotion. But money is rolling in. And what's he going to do with the extra? Remember, Jesus is making this story up. But he wanted to teach us something. He wanted to teach his disciples. And he wanted to teach everyone who was listening to him that day. He wanted to teach all of us the right and wrong ways to respond when we find ourselves with more than what we need. Verse 17. So he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put yourself in this guy's shoes. He has this big windfall. It's payday. It comes in, and he wasn't expecting it. And maybe it's Saturday morning, and you wake up and you find you have no place to go, right? No place to be. But you got money in the bank. You got gas in the tank. And where am I going to spend my day? What am I going to do? Maybe it's in that moment when the tax return comes in, or the stimulus check, or the insurance kickback, whatever they call that thing. Whatever it is, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? Maybe a new computer. I can't get a new computer for $50. Maybe go out to eat. Maybe some new clothes. Maybe trade in the car, get a newer one. And Jesus went on, verse 18. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. So Jesus is teaching us about saving, right? Or maybe investing our surplus. Maybe that's what he's teaching us. These are the suggestions you would expect from the great wise teacher. He would teach us about investing and saving. And the man in Jesus' story here, he's industrious. He tears down his barns. He takes on this reno project. He builds new ones, bigger ones. Good for him, right? He had a great year. So far, it's a good story. So far, it's kind of like the story of the year, good story. But then it takes this morbid turn. This is where it's like, Jesus, you could have left this part out. Verse 20, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you, or demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Ouch. Jesus, why did you have to say that? Yes, Lord. I appreciate that extra effect. Hope it moved your heart wherever you're sitting. But there's this unexpected twist in the story. I mean, it's kind of weird. It's like, Jesus, why did you have to go there? It's like, couldn't you keep it positive? Couldn't you keep it happy? I mean, the guy had a good year. Is that wrong? Is it wrong for someone to get a promotion? Is it wrong for someone to get extra? Yeah. I'm sure that his audience didn't see it coming. I know we didn't, right? We didn't see it coming in the story. Jesus, let me just clarify something. Jesus was not teaching that you're going to die after you get a raise. Everybody say, thank the Lord, right? You're like, got that meeting with the boss tomorrow. I think I'm going to skip it. No, he's not teaching that you're going to die after you get a raise, after you get a promotion. You're not going to die after the stimulus check comes in the mail. It's okay to go ahead and get it. It's okay to, to spend it in your bank account. He wasn't teaching that. He was exposing something that is hidden in our hearts. And it's super hard. It's really difficult and almost impossible to self-diagnose. It's something that's deadly and it's sinister. See, the real problem wasn't that the man was prosperous. The problem wasn't that he had riches. His problem was threefold. Let's look at it. First of all, he never asked God what he should do with the increase. He never asked God. You think God cares about all of our life, everything that goes on with us? Absolutely. What would make you fearful to ask God, what should I do with that stimulus check? Have you ever thought about it? God, what should I do with that insurance rebate? What should I do with that tax return I wasn't expecting? What should I do with that extra that came in? What should I do? Have you ever thought about asking, God, what should I do with this? See, listen, God cares about everything in our lives. And I think sometimes we're afraid to ask God what he wants us to do with it because we think he's going to take it from us. Are we really afraid? Do you think he needs your stimulus check? I don't think so. Don't worry about it. He's trying to unearth some things in our hearts. He's trying to get some things settled inside of us that is so important. You want to talk about spiritual growth? This is spiritual growth. This is where you go below the surface. Most of you know we moved. We sold our house this past year, and long story, and maybe we'll share some of it. But in the process of it, we felt like the Lord told us to get rid of everything. We did that one time before when we went to Austria as missionaries, and it was a really weird feeling. If you've ever moved, if you've ever gotten rid of everything, you know. It's like, the best way I can describe it is, it's like a free fall. But you know that the Lord has you. It's exhilarating. And it's scary all at the same time. It's exciting. But there's times where if you're not careful, you can easily switch from excitement to panic. Because whether we realize it or not, the stuff that we have sometimes, most of the time, has us. And when we let it go, man. Now there are things, as we were going through this process, it was interesting. We would have days where we would just go through these emotions and just, you know, some of you were there, you helped us do yard sales and different things, and you watch your stuff. You know, that you know you just paid $50 for something and you're selling it for like $5. It's walking out the door and you're like, wow. It puts life back into perspective real quick because, you know, you don't want to jump right into accumulating stuff again. But my point is this, that if we're not careful, all of us, we can put our hope in our riches. And the Lord wants to spare us from that. Listen, your riches cannot keep that promise. Money, possessions are not going to give you hope. They're not going to give you security. They're not going to give you happiness. You might feel some while you have it, but what happens when it's gone? That's the question. And this is what the Lord wants to protect us from, is that if our hope is in those things, then we have hope, we have security, we have happiness as long as we have stuff. But what happens in your life if God says, I'm ready to take that stuff away? Do you lose hope? Do you lose security? Do you lose happiness? See, the real problem wasn't that this guy was prosperous. It wasn't that he had extra. It wasn't that he got a raise, that he had a great year. That wasn't the problem. The problem was he never asked God, what should I do with the increase? Second thing, he was under the assumption that what he had was for his consumption. This is a bad trap that we all slip into. This idea that what I have is for my consumption. I mean, after all, you worked hard for it, right? After all, you put in the time. And the third thing, his hope and his trust was in his wealth. You see it in verse 19. He says, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. You guys are really quiet. It's one of those serious messages, isn't it? I'm not beating you up. I'm not telling you, again, you know, I'm definitely not going to receive an offering at the end of the service, although it would be a good time, wouldn't it? You can laugh. Ah. The point is this, that God wants all of our heart, and he wants us to be careful to protect our heart, that we don't put our hope, our trust, our security in our riches. I'll tell you a story about Ella. Years ago, there was a church secretary named Ella. She was a source of joy to everyone that she came in contact with. The kids loved her. Teenagers would visit her office and get candy. And one year, a change came over Ella. That a haggard gaze replaced her warm smile that she used to have. A sense of humor, it went away. She became just very matter-of-fact with the kids, with the teenagers, with everyone she dealt with. She started fussing at the kids for being noisy in the church office. And one of the little kids in the church asked his mom, "What's wrong with Ella?" Mom explained that after 30 years with his company, Ella's husband was let go. 11 months from retirement, he lost his benefits and his pension. Ella felt betrayed. Her source of joy was shattered. Ella was a solid Christian, but without realizing it, her hope had migrated from the Lord to riches. She and her husband weren't millionaires, but the closer that her husband got to retirement, she began to count down the days, which any of us would, right? When the money went away, Ella's hope went away. Our hope is in the Lord, isn't it? We're not guaranteed anything. Our security is in Him. Our happiness is in Him. If it's in Him, it's locked in. It's solid. It's not going anywhere. But if it's in riches, if it's in things, if it's in possessions, those things come and go. Life can change just like that. See, our money makes promises to us. Promises that only God can provide. Only God can provide happiness. Thank you. You can actually leave it. I'm almost done. If the worship team would come. Who's on the pads today? Whew. All right, come on. See, only God can provide happiness, security, hope. Only He can provide it. He doesn't want to compete with our stuff. It's possible, and this is what Jesus was teaching. It's possible to have riches, to have stuff, but for our stuff to not have us. See, sometimes we feel like, well, I just, you know, we're going to just go ahead and throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I've heard people say, you know, money is the root of all evil after all, right? That's not what it says. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. See, God has blessed us. We are rich. We have rich people opportunities. He's given us more than we need. But what He wants to make sure is that our hope, our security, our happiness is locked into Him. It doesn't migrate away. This is something that we have to constantly monitor. We have to constantly monitor our heart. The best way we could do it is when God gives us increase, when He blesses us, and He will. He wants to. He wants to be a blessing through you, but when He blesses you, the first thing that should come to our mind is, God, what should I do with the increase? What should I do with the extra? What should I do with this? I didn't expect this. I tell you, when you ask that question, when you find yourself asking that question first, you know your heart's in the right place. Don't put your hope in riches. Put your hope in Him who richly blesses. Would you stand with me? I believe with all my heart that if we can get this under control, that if God can trust you and I, that He will pour riches into our lives. I'm not a prosperity doctrine preacher, but I do believe that if we get this under control, if God can trust us, then He will entrust much more to us. It's a principle Jesus taught, right? Why not? Why wouldn't He? But why would He give us something Why would he give us something if he knows it's going to destroy us? So Father, this morning, we want our hearts to be pure before you. Lord, we don't want our hope to migrate away from you. We don't want our happiness to migrate away from you. We don't want our security to migrate away from you. Lord, we want you to be our source. And no matter where we find ourselves, in whatever financial situation, we're never without hope. We're never without happiness. We're never without security. We're never without joy. We have you. Lord, I pray right now that you would bless, that you would help us to embrace, first of all, God, just embrace what it is that you said in this story and those principles. And then, Lord, I pray that you would make us a blessing. Make us a blessing. Lord, that our families would be marked by generosity. That our lives would be marked by generosity. Let's sing it together.